open up our Bibles and go to the book of Colossians. And in the book of Colossians, where once again, we're going to read the theme verse for basically the theme that we're going to be having throughout these summer family nights. And I'll start reading. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Rooted and built up in him. That is the theme that we want to focus on for these summer family nights that we're going to be having. And we have a lot of different areas where we're going to be preaching on and talking about, and areas that we can be rooted in Christ. Brother Ben, last week, started us off with how we need to be rooted in our salvation. The title of his message, I believe, was The Disease of Leprosy. And he was talking a bit about how leprosy is a really good picture of the sin in our lives and how, as sinners, we need to get saved. Because that's important to understand. Before we can even be rooted in our obedience, as you can see here, that's going to be the title of our message today. Before we can be rooted in our obedience or rooted in any other area and grow, we need to first have that life. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know that you are saved, in other words, if you were to die today, you don't have 100% security in your heart that you're going to go to heaven the day you die, I invite you to get that taken care of. There are many people here that you can talk to, and we'd love to share how you can know you're on your way to heaven. And so, we will begin with our message. And once again, before we begin, I would just like to thank Pastor Mix for the privilege to be able to be here on this, for one, doing this internship, and for two, being here behind, giving me the opportunity to be behind this podium and to be able to preach the word. I don't take it lightly, and I just want to thank him for that privilege. And so let's start in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into it. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for getting us here safely, Lord, for bringing us here. I pray, Lord, that you speak to hearts. Lord, I pray for your filling, and I pray that, Lord, it not be me preaching, Lord, but, Lord, that I would just be a clean vessel for you to use, Lord, that, Lord, you know that as I was preparing this sermon, Lord, you were speaking to me primarily about this topic, Lord, and I pray, Father, that it will be a help to the brethren here, Lord, and that they would be encouraged by it, and I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. So, now, if you could go over to your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, and in the book of Joshua, we're going to start in chapter 6. And so, because we have children in the audience, we were discussing, and I think Brother Ben mentioned it the last time, the reason what we're trying to do is we are trying to make this more entertaining and more engaging for the children, so we are focusing on Bible stories. And so we have two different Bible stories for this message that we're going to be focusing on. One is the story of Jericho, and that's where we're going to begin right now. And so we'll begin in chapter 6 and just get ourselves situated, see where we're at, and go from there. In verse number 1 it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." So, let's get our context a bit, right? So, the children of Israel had just crossed the Jordan River. They're in the Promised Land, finally, after 40 years of wandering in the desert because of their unbelief, well, the unbelief of their parents and of their ancestors. So now, those all old people are all dead now, and now they're finally in the Promised Land, and Jericho is this first city that they need to take care of. And so, God gives them a command, plain and simple. He said, look, you're going to grab your horns, you're going to grab your trumpets, and you're going to grab the ark, and you're going to march around the city once every day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, all you're going to do is march seven times, and then sound the trumpet, shout, and the battle is yours. Pretty simple. And so that was all the children of Israel needed to do for the victory. After they did what God told them to do, the walls of the city fell, and they had a great victory. And so something that Pastor Mick said is actually part of a conversation we were having, I believe, on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, and a phrase that he said is really the theme about this whole thing. He said, obedience always precedes blessings. And as we were talking about this passage, I was trying to pick at his brain for a bit, and that's the phrase that he gave me. And he said, you can see that a lot of times in the Bible. There's a lot of if-then statements in the Bible. If you do this, then I will do that. If you don't do this, then I will do this. And it's the Lord either giving blessings or a lot of times giving curses. And so the Bible speaks on obedience and how it always proceeds in blessings. James 1:25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Malachi 3:10 is a verse that is widely used a lot of times to talk about tithing and how we should tithe. And is another one where in us being obedient, we will find a blessing. It says, Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Children, this one is for you, and we're actually going to go over to our Bibles, if you would accompany me to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and save your spot there in Joshua. We'll come back to that guy, to that book. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, it says, children, that's you, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And it says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It's crazy to think that so many people are so frustrated with how long they're going to live when the Bible gives a really simple answer. Hey, you want to have a long life on the earth? Obey your parents. Yeah. Honor your parents. And it's a literal promise. If you honor your parents, if you obey your parents, you will have a long life. And you know, if we go back into the book of Joshua, I know I'm getting you guys all over this place, but let's go back to the book of Joshua now. Even earlier in the book, God himself said something similar to Joshua in chapter 1, 8 through 9, verses 8 through 9. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so we see that it is quite evident that there are blessings through obedience. We see that we get blessings through obedience. It is quite evident that God is more willing to bless his children that obey him. The story of Jericho is a perfect example of this. The children of Israel received the commandment, they obeyed it, and God blessed them with a victory. Now, I want to actually go back into our passage and pull out something that I noticed during my study of this. And so if we go back to chapter 6, in verse 10, there's a commandment that Joshua gave. And it says in verse 10, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. Something I noticed as I was studying this passage is the fact that there doesn't seem to be any indication in the passage itself. I tried reading through it multiple times. There isn't any indication that this commandment of being silent during the marching period came straight from God. it was something that Josh, it was a commandment that Joshua gave them. Now, obviously, we can pretty much infer, I would assume, it would be easy to infer that, yeah, that was a commandment straight from God. But what a principle I want to draw out from is that while we should be obedient, of course, to the Lord, God puts different people in our lives, godly authority in our lives that we ought to follow. And Joshua is a good example of this. If we examine him, we can see a clear example of a spiritual leader. He was Moses' right-hand man. Hey, you know, when the children of Israel were out there making a calf, a golden calf, and dancing and worshiping it and everything, it was Joshua that was out on the mountain waiting for Moses while he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, if I'm not mistaken, getting the Ten Commandments. He probably listened in on the conversations Moses and God had from time to time. Now, while whether or not this is true, I'm not entirely sure, but for him to spend so much time with Moses, I'd have to assume that that relationship that Moses had with the Lord influenced Joshua greatly. And so Moses, finally, he passes away, and now God is the one that has chosen Joshua to take that role, and he is now the man of God chosen to lead the people of Israel. And so the principle, once again, that I want to draw from this is that in the same fashion that Joshua was placed in this position, the church has been given an under-shepherd, and that is the pastor of this church. God has placed an under-shepherd to take care of his sheep, to take care of his flock, while Christ comes back for his bride. Friends, I want to encourage you to follow the counsel of your pastor. There's a reason why the Lord has placed him here, and and he's been here for 10 years. I am, just from the short time that I've known him and I've been here, I know that he loves you guys greatly and he wishes the best for you. So don't be so quick to just completely disregard what the preacher has to say. I know in my life, when I was growing up, it's very easy to just go and ask for counsel. And I say that in air quotes because it's very easy to just go and be like, "Pastor, hey, I was kind of thinking I wanted to do this." That's not really asking for counsel. It's more like trying to ease your conscience. But hey, I asked for advice. But really going with an open heart and saying, "Hey, Pastor, I have this issue. There's this job position. There's this girl. Who knows? What do you think? I need your advice." And just having an open heart to whatever the man of God has. You know, as the under-shepherd of the church, the pastor has been given an amazing privilege to serve his Lord through the ministering of you and your family. With the privilege also comes a great responsibility to study the Word of God and to feed the flock of the Lord. Pastor Mix, he studies so much to prepare the messages that he has. And you know, the Apostle Paul wrote a lot about this in the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he's instructing Timothy, but also this is a pastoral epistle. It applies to the pastor. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He then goes on further to say in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So the man of God, the preacher, needs to study to show himself approved, not unto men, but unto God, first and foremost. He needs to study and feed himself to be then able to use the word of God that is inspired and is profitable for doctrine. Hey, doctrine shows you what's right, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the final part is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so, he continues on in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2, literally right after this verse 17, he says, "Charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." To be instant in season and out of season, that means he always needs to be ready. He always needs to be ready to give an answer for what he believes. He always needs to be ready to be able to give advice. And even if he isn't, to be ready to be, you know what, brother, I don't exactly know fully how to give you an answer to that. Let me study that out and I'll come back to you tomorrow. How about that? So God often gives the pastor a special insight to situations that we may not see as clearly. The Bible also is clear that we ought to follow pastoral authority as they will one day have to give an account for the flock. You know, Brother Ben here, he's the assistant pastor. He won't have to give an account for this church. That's not his job. Pastor Mix, though, will have to give an account for this church. Pastor Paul Chapel over in Lancaster Baptist Church, he won't have to give an account for this church, but he'll have to give an account for the church that he is shepherding right over there. And so that is a heavy burden to take into consideration. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And so we see then that there are great blessings that God has in store for us if we obey his will and follow the godly authority that he has placed on our lives. So that's what we can take out from the book or from this first chapter of Joshua 6. But I actually want to turn your attention, if we go a little bit further in the chapter, there is a part where after they've walked around, they're about to shout. They've walked around, they've marched around, they're ready to go. And Joshua says, all right, shout, but wait, let me tell you something real quick. And let's start in verse 17. It says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye," this is a commandment, "in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the cursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the victory over Jericho is in the end of the story. Now we go on to another part. And so while we spoke a bit on the blessings that come from obedience, now I want to see the consequences that come from disobedience. Chapter 7, we see the story of Achan. Now Achan got himself in trouble for a lot of things. Well, really not a lot of things, just one thing that he did. But right before the children of Israel shouted and the walls of Jericho came down, he gave a warning. We just read it. And so accursed, that word just means it was doomed to be doomed to destruction or misery. It was set apart to be destroyed. Everything that was in that city was to be destroyed. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron, those were all supposed to go into the treasury of the Lord. But everything else was supposed to be destroyed. But look at what happened in verse number 7. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." And I've been thinking to myself, as I was studying this, it doesn't make a lot of sense why Achan did this. Because if we study what's been going on so far in the history right now, up until this point, Israel was under bondage. They got out of bondage from Egypt. And they got a lot, and I mean a lot of gold and silver and jewels and everything that they would need to one day build the tabernacle. They got all of that from Egypt. They had a great amount of wealth. And later on, when they're going and they're starting to build the tabernacle, that's when they make this large donation to build the tabernacle. But the thing is, they kept giving and giving to the point that Moses himself was like, oh, okay, whoa, 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 guys, you've given enough. We have enough. Keep the rest, you're good. So clearly, even after this large donation, they still had a great amount of wealth. So then I have to ask the question, Achan, why would you do that? Especially when it was commanded, keep yourselves away from it. Well, the thing is, first and foremost, something we can see is that this is the first battle in a list of battles that Israel is going to be having, and God wanted to set a precedence in how we ought to serve him. You see, God deserves the first fruits of our labor. God deserves the tithe. God deserves the first part of it. So he is setting a precedent for the children of Israel. Hey, this is our first battle. It's going to be great. It's going to be victorious. But give the first part to me. And then next on in the battle of Ai and in these other battles, you can take the spoils. It'll be for you. But give it first to me. Achan willingly decided to take of the accursed thing and steal from the Lord and hide it. And so one of the biggest problems with our sin is the fact that it not only affects us, but it affects those around us. You know, I would say this a lot. I don't think it's very true when I say I wish we lived in a perfect world where our sin only affected us, because that's not a perfect world. But what I mean to say is I wish that my mistakes and my sin only affected me. But so often, so many times, the mistakes, the sins that I commit affect those around me. That's just how it works. We see it all the way from the beginning with Adam and Eve. Imagine how cool it would have been if when Adam ate of the fruit, that he was the only one that got the sin nature, and we're all fine and dandy. But that's not what happened. One decision that he made completely cursed the entirety of the human race, which is why Jesus Christ needed to come and pay for that price on the cross. His individual sin affected the entirety of Israel and made God angry against them. Look at it again in verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. The Bible is not making a distinction. It's not saying, but Achan committed a trespass. No, the entirety of the children of Israel had committed that trespass. The anger of the Lord, further on it says, was kindled against the children of Israel. And so what ends up happening? What is one of the consequences of Achan's sin? Well, further on, we read that they went and fought against the people of Ai in the battle of Ai. And following what had just happened, they had this great victory with Jericho. Oh, man, this is easy. Ai is nothing. These guys are a lot smaller. They took a lot more men. And yet, 36 men died, and they were chased out. Achan's sin cost the lives of 36 men that had nothing to do with it. They probably didn't even have any idea that Achan had committed this sin. And so I find it interesting that Achan thought his sin was hidden and that no one would ever find out. After all, later on we read that he had it hidden underneath his tent. But you know, God knew. God knew that he had committed this sin. And his greed had blinded him to this fact. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And you know, there's something ironic to say. There's something ironic about this whole situation. Because Achan, he got this gold, he got this silver, but he wasn't going to be able to spend it. No, this he clearly stole from the Lord. There was no way, if he ever spent it, people would know that he stole it. And the Babylonian garment that he got, he wouldn't have been able to wear it. So for what did it profit him? Absolutely nothing. But I need to ask the question, are you in direct disobedience to God? Are there things in your life that you know without a shadow of a doubt the Lord would have you take them off? Because in the same way, Achan knew that he wasn't supposed to. Hey, Joshua gave the commandment, hey, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. In the same way, we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you know, those reels on Instagram that you're watching, they don't have the best humor. There's a lot of junk that you're filling your mind with. You need to get that out. But do we listen? Hey, that TV show that you're watching, hey, there's a lot of graphic scenes in it. There's a lot of off-color jokes. It's sometimes even taking the Lord's name in vain, and they're making a mockery of him. You should take that out. Are we listening? Teenager, child, it doesn't matter. What's on your phone? We can go on. The list goes on and on. What is in our life that we know we're directly disobeying the Lord? but we just don't want to get rid of it. Or worse, we think it's hidden, and we lie to ourselves thinking that it's hidden, but we know that the Lord knows. Friend, don't believe that lie. God knows that the sin is there. You can't fool your parents, teenager. Or, I mean, you can fool your parents, but you can't fool God. Husband, you can fool your wife, but you can't fool God. Parent, you can fool your children into thinking you're having a right walk with the Lord, but you can't fool God. And you know, you can fool this church. You can fool the pastor. You can walk the walk and talk the talk and, hey, God bless you, brother. Yeah, it's a great day out here in church. But you're so far away. And you can't fool the Lord. And the thing with sin is, it will find you out. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out. Achan never thought about the consequences of his actions. He never could have imagined how devastating they would be. Because let's think about it. How devastating could it be that he just took some pieces of gold in a Babylonian garment? It couldn't be that bad, right? I mean, it's just a little bit. It's just a little. No, there were deadly consequences. Verse 19, if we read, let's see what those consequences were. Not just the men that died, the 36 men. No, the consequences were far more personal. And Joshua said unto Achan, my God, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua, and all Israel with him, took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, get this, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. I was talking to Pastor, and he told me, yeah, in Israel, the story of Achan is still widely known. The same way God wanted to set a precedent with, hey, the first belongs to me. I'm pretty sure after this, he set a precedent with Achan. Hey, this is what happens when you disobey me. This is what happens when you go against my commandments so directly as well. The commandment was clear. Don't take of the accursed thing. But Achan did, and it cost him everything. I can only imagine. I can really only imagine Achan being there and hearing the cries of his children, of his wife, hearing them cry out, and he can't do anything about it. And knowing that they're dying and that they're getting stones to the face, their bones are being broken because of the sin he committed. There is a crucial principle to get from this. Friend, we have free will today, and I praise the Lord for that, because God would not receive the glory from us being a bunch of robots and just doing what he tells us to do. But he receives the glory when in our free will we choose to follow him. But with that free will, there's something we must remember. We can always choose our actions, but we cannot choose the consequences of those actions. You don't get to choose the consequences of your actions. You don't get to choose. Yeah, you can choose to sin. Go ahead. If you want to sin, go for it. But there will be consequences. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us always be conscious of the choices we make, because we do not know the consequences of those choices. And children, I speak to you as well. Now you're young right now, and you're growing up, and that's great. But you know, you start being disobedient. Trust me, when you grow up and you have children, you're going to have disobedient children. My sisters are noticing that right now. I'm not trying to call them out, but I heard they were pretty crazy when they were children, and now my nephews and nieces are actually pretty crazy as well. But I'm joking. But seriously, we will reap what we sow. And so once again, Achan is being stoned together with his children and is now reaping what he sowed. And so today, we have two options. Hey, follow the Lord. Obey what he has to say. And there's blessings with that. Serious blessings that we can't even imagine. That if we try to write a book about it, you know, we wouldn't have enough ink. Just even right now, for only 22 years of age, I'd be able to fill books and books and books of how the Lord has blessed me. But I can also tell you stories and stories and stories of how the Lord has dealt with me because of my sin and because of my own mistakes that I've committed. So we have two options. Live in obedience to the Word of God and experience the blessings, or live in disobedience and face the consequences that come from it. It is your choice, and it's nobody else's choice. And so to be rooted in Christ, you must first make sure you are saved and make sure that your home in heaven, or your home is in heaven, because someone that is dead can't grow. So if you are spiritually dead, you can't grow. Really, this message can't really apply to you. You can't grow in this area because you haven't even taken that first step. So once again, I want to encourage you, if you are here and you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, let's get that fixed. And then, hey, this is the second step, obedience. And you know, by the way, the second step right after getting saved is a step of obedience in getting baptized and identifying with the Lord. So don't fool yourself into thinking you can outrun the consequences of your actions, because you won't be the exception. I'm not the exception. Nobody is. We will all face the consequences of our actions. We are not exempt from them. But finally, I want to leave you with this. We can obey the Lord, and we can fear the consequences of our wrong actions, and we can obey the Lord for the blessings, but let's be honest, we should obey and praise him and follow him, because the main reason is that he loves us. He gave himself for us. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. We belong to him. Jesus himself said it best in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." It's as simple as that. And love is not a feeling. It is a choice. You choose to love by following what the Lord says. And so that's the choice we have today. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed shortly. Father in heaven, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for the, Lord, for the blessing and for the honor to be saved, Lord, and to be called one of your children, Lord. I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here that is struggling with being obedient, Lord, they know what they need to get rid of. They know what they need to get fixed, but they're just struggling with it. I pray that today they would get it right, Lord. That they would not fall victim to the consequences of wrong actions, Father, but that they would be able to reap good fruit and blessings that come from being obedient to you, Lord. I pray that this be an area that we can all grow in, because I know so many times I fail myself. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to us today. I pray that at the end of the service, Lord, you take us home safely, that you would bless the fellowship as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Ben?
Go ahead and just take a brief moment of prayer and just speak to God in your own way. And just ask yourself, am I being obedient to God? He knows if we're being disobedient or not. It's just up to us if we're going to admit it. much for this convicting message. I pray that each and every one of us would be obedient to you. You've called us and you've given us a job to do. I pray that we would be obedient and obey what you would have us to do every single day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Christman, for that message. I was thinking as